get up now, get up out of bed. Wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head. Here's your clothes and your shoes. Hear the words I said. Get up now.
When I say things like hand sanitizer, Mr. Bubbles, and aerosol cans, what comes to mind? Household products? Yes, they are. But these also could be your child's next choice of drug. We're going to talk about that coming up in the show. You're listening to Because I Said So.
Don't forget your piano lesson is this afternoon, so you must play, don't shovel, choose lovely.
You're listening to Because I Said So on Delmarva Public Radio, and we have a very special guest with us today. We have Deputy First Class Jennifer Hall, who is a school resource officer for Bennett Middle. And Jennifer, welcome to the show, number one.
Thank you.
You have actually been a resource officer for 6 years.
Yes.
Well, we're here to talk to you about drugs. And that's the bottom line, because many of our kids are a little bit younger. So talking to you prior to doing the show, I had no idea what was going on as far as drugs are concerned with our youth today. It's not necessarily what people think.
No.
Is it?
No, it's not.
What is being seen right now?
What is seen is mainstream, as far as drug use, have switched from, instead of what we think about in movies and, you know, magazines and on television, where it's the dealer on the corner at nighttime, is actually brought into the household, where most of the drugs that our youth are getting in touch with are from the house. They don't have to go anywhere. They don't have to buy anything. They're finding it right in the home. Or some are even coming from our grocery stores and things like that. Household items.
Give us some examples, because I can't imagine. I mean, I have a high school student and a sixth grader. So do I need to go home and lock up, you know, my Clorox, or what is it that I need to look for?
Well, definitely some of the things to look for are excessive usage. If you've noticed that you are buying a little bit too much Clorox lately, or spray paint cans that you're not spray painting anything, things like that, aerosol cans, yeah. Dust off. We have things as Mr. Bubbles. We have bath salts. Just recently, that's been in the news. K2, the synthetic marijuana, is out and prevalent now. And things like...
What's synthetic marijuana?
Hand sanitizer,
yeah,
yes.
We have a lot to talk about here.
Okay, the hand sanitizer.
The hand sanitizer was in the news.
That's
so
correct.
So how does that work? Really?
With the hand sanitizer...
This is not a how-to show.
Right.
Let's be clear on that.
Well... I'll give you the brief version of
okay,
it. Unfortunately,
good.
The hand sanitizer,
we know what you mean.
It's a tongue twister, isn't it?
Yes.
It's being used the same way as salts and Mr. Bubbles and things. They are distilling it just as if they would do moonshine and things like that, where they actually are extracting the alcohol from the hand sanitizer.
So how did they learn
You're saying
how to
that
do
they
that?
Google?
Oh,
yeah,
Google.
I'm sure.
You can learn anything on the internet, unfortunately.
So they'd have to do this in their bedrooms or in the garage, or, I mean, this is...
Bathrooms while they're taking their shower. You
it's
just
a quick
never...
process. It's not like a...
Well, distilling, depending on how much alcohol you are going to get out of it. I mean, you can get a high percentage. I think I've read almost as high as 80% alcohol from...
And then they drink it straight?
That's
is that
correct.
What they do?
That's correct.
Oh,
and it's been harming several of our youths around the nation. It's been on the news very recently. As far as in California, I believe they had some that, you know, had to go to the emergency room and injuries and, you know, from breathing. And it does so much from the interior out. It's ridiculous that I don't think they're even thinking about it, because they're trying to reach that high.
What age are you talking about? You're saying youth, but
yes.
How young are they starting with these products?
I've found through research that they are starting as young as 12 through the age of 17. Personally, being with the youth for so many years, I've seen them use it. I would start, you know, the eighth grade range, which would be correct, around that 11, 12-year-old range, when the curiosity peaks, when they're trying to find themselves, they're trying to fit in with a certain group. So, and it's all about that environment. You know, it's not all about locking it up, because we can't be with our children 24/7. So when they go to the sleepover,
when they go
to the camp trips, when they go to these events, we're not, you know, there 24/7. So it's just being mindful. And later on this broadcast, I'll let you know some tips to look for with the youth in the homes.
And I'm just fascinated that we've gone beyond the, you know, marking the liquor in the liquor cabinet,
mm-hmm.
and smelling marijuana, or, you know, like, how did this happen? What have you seen over the years?
Well, personally, I would say it's just revolving with time.
An evolution of the drugs.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's, you know, now everything is faster. Everything, you want it now. You don't want to have to deal with the bumps and bruises. Oh, how do I cover up the smell to my mother? Or, you know, she'll see me drunk or something like that. And then money. You know, parents have been withdrawing that, you know, no, because I think you're going to use it for this way. So they're smart.
Creative. That's right.
Absolutely.
Creative.
If there's a will, there's a way. Mm-hmm. You can put it that way.
So you're not seeing marijuana. You're not seeing cocaine. You're not seeing heroin. You're seeing Mr. Bubble.
Not as prevalent, again, as it used to be. We still see them. Of course, they're still common in our communities. But unfortunately, that's not the things that we miss. We detect those types of drugs and abuses so much and so often that we miss over the signs there in the house or there in school. Because you see somebody with sanitizer, a lot of the schools are requiring that.
Oh, yeah. It's on the school supply list.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, and not saying that all children are using for this use, but when you're placing your child with another student who's already done this or heard about it or learned about it on YouTube, you know, that becomes the problem. It's the curiosity killed the cat. And unfortunately, you know, playing these games could have a deadly cost.
I've seen the cinnamon game. Have you seen that on YouTube?
Yes, where you put as much cinnamon in your mouth. And
you put like a tablespoon of cinnamon, and then it like comes out of your ears and your nostrils and your eyeballs and everything. And it's like a big joke. But there's, of course, been some kids who have gotten hurt by it. But
Absolutely. My
kids were talking about this the other day, and my son said to me, "What's the big deal, Mom?" I'm like, "Well, I don't. Why would you do that? Why would you put that much in your mouth that would come out?" It's one of those wacky things that kids like to try, fun, funky things.
Yeah, and you know, and I think a lot of times what you think is fun, I mean, I know I'm hearing that, what, huffing is back now?
Huffing or AKA bagging. So
I mean, I had a friend who about 15 years ago lost her teenager in a huffing accident locally.
What exactly is huffing?
Go ahead.
Oh, well, huffing is when you take like an aerosol can or something like that, or even our local, the whip, cans and things like that, and do it the opposite direction, and you get the high from that. I mean, it's almost like when we were kids and we used the whole helium balloon to change your voice type of thing.
Yeah.
And they're finding now where even the bagging, where you would put the glue in the bag and you just, you know,
sniff
that, and you're getting the aroma, the high off of that. And
so as a parent, I'm just curious, I mean, are there certain, would these kids be more prone, like if their own parents were using and abusing alcohol and drugs, or is it across the spectrum? It really doesn't, you can't sort of segment it one way or the other.
Well, of course, there's always some connection to family background and usage of what they're seeing and what they're taught, obviously, from their environment, but it's mainstream. I mean, it's so available and it's such in everybody's backyard. It's in everybody's backyard and it's so common that a lot of people aren't alerting to it. So, no, I see it across the board from the richest to the poorest. You know, and you'd be surprised because some of the people that I come across is, oh, not my child, you know, because I have the private school and the uniform, or because I live in this type of neighborhood, not my child. Well, statistically, it has been proven
that
those will be the
drugs
ones.
Don't discriminate.
Right. And going in the medicine cabinet, because, yes, you can afford your prescriptions, you know, so that makes a difference. Maybe you're not counting how many Xanaxes you have in your oxycodone for your tooth that you got extracted. You lose count. I mean, did I take two yesterday or one?
Maybe you didn't even use them all and they're just still sitting there.
Right, and you forget to get rid of them because, you know, my tooth doesn't hurt, so I'll just keep them there for just in case.
Yeah.
Months can go by. Curiosity, I mean.
Well, I know that you also said, Jennifer, that you have some tips that you were going to share with us that we're going to get to in just a few minutes. We'll be right back.
Delmarva Public Radio's first online auction is coming soon. We have some great items lined up. Round-trip tickets to Tangier Island, Baltimore Orioles tickets, a spa package, golf outings, trips, a kayak, limited edition art, and much more. The auction starts Monday, May 21st and runs through June 4th. Proceeds benefit Delmarva Public Radio. Visit delmarvapublicradio.net for more information. Happy bidding!
We still have so much to talk about. We have Deputy First Class Jennifer Hall with us. She's a school resource officer at Bennett Middle. And we ended the last conversation with some prescription drugs, but there's just so many types of drugs now out there. You had a question, Jackie.
Yeah, that was my question. You know, I understand the OxyContin. I understand the Percocet. I understand the... But Lunesta and Ambien? Like, what's going on there?
Yes. Those drugs are being used as a downer, as to numb the pain. And again, it's just on the effect. And a lot of the kids who start that, they do it because somebody told them. So it's not that they're even curious about it. It's, oh, well, if they did it and they're okay, then I can do it. And the problem with prescription drugs like those, they're gateways. Because once you get that numbing sensation, you're going to want more. You're going to have to reach higher to get that next high because mm-hmm. your body's going to get used to it. So, and again, those drugs aren't supposed to be for a long term. They don't know that, you know. And then you turn around with prescription drugs in a household like that, and you have, you know, the medication parties where they put all the pills into a bowl and you just grab some.
Oh, yes. I just can't imagine that. I cannot imagine taking that risk. But,
yes.
You know, obviously kids don't think that they are invincible. Well, that's
and if you're 15, you don't think there is a risk.
Right.
You know, I mean, you have no idea what the implication
but, you know,
of
the
that
schools
is.
Do a pretty good job of trying to reinforce this message to them, but it's not always going to penetrate because they're kids, right?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, they, again, like you said, they have that mentality that it's not going to hurt me. You know, and they play, I hate to put it that way, but they play so many video games where you can restart.
They respawn on Call of Duty.
Yeah, you know, let me just get another life and keep it trucking. It's not like this. It's not Pac-Man where you have 3-4 lives, and they're not making that reality, that connection to real life where your heart stops and nobody's there to start pumping it again. You're done.
And I'm feeling like this is even scarier than the marijuana, the cocaine, the heroin. You know, the kids knew those were illegal. These mm-hmm. are products that, again, are sitting in your house, mm-hmm. are sitting in the drugstores and the grocery stores. So mm-hmm. to make that connection that, you know, how harmful this is when mm-hmm. you can go and you can pick it up, you can have it sitting on your desk at school.
Right. Well, unfortunately, with the prescription drugs, it's so serious because with our youth, unfortunately, they're looking at, first of all, it comes from a doctor. It must be safe. Second of all, I saw my mommy and daddy take it and it made them feel better. But it's not prescribed to them.
Right.
You know, it's not for that weight class, that age. You know, mm-hmm. your body has to mature for a certain drug. They won't even, you know, give you certain prescriptions unless you're a certain age because they know it will affect your brain function, your lung function. You're still growing, things like that. But they're not thinking about that risk. They just know mommy feels better, her headache went away, or daddy's being able to sleep. You know, I'm so stressed. I got exams, so hey, let me pop a few and I'll be okay. Oh, one, I'm really stressed. Let me have two or three.
Right.
You know, which that could be completely going across, you know, against the prescription. So
Jennifer, I want to hear your tips because I feel like I'm one of those moms who is on top of it. I feel like I had an interesting past growing up, and I have some experience under my belt, and mm-hmm. I will know when my kids are going astray. But I'm recently had a conversation with a couple of friends who say, you know, Kathy, we thought the exact same thing, mm-hmm. and it just happens. And I know it could happen overnight. So mm-hmm. what are your mm-hmm. tips for how we can stay on top of this?
Some of the things that you need to look for is difference in sleeping patterns, association with friends, drops in grades, different vocabulary, just little sudden hints where a lot of us, unfortunately, being naive and being parents, thinking, oh, it's because, you know, I'm going through a divorce. And sometimes yes, but sometimes no. You know, oh, it's because they're in a new school. Sometimes yes, but again, sometimes no. Whether or not, you know, again, I say their sleeping patterns or study patterns, small things, subtle things that we'll dismiss. Oh, they're just tired because they have exams. Well, are they tired or, you know, are they doing something
right.
else? Absolutely. So my 10 helpful hints that I briefly got, and I do have the website here, so
okay,
you'll have
good.
It. And I kind of twerked it just a little bit just to relate to what we were speaking about. My first tip is start early. It's never too early. Personally, I do have two small children, and I start, you know, if they're aware enough and educated enough to start school, mm-hmm. that's a good place to start. You know, that kindergarten, that pre-K stage where you're like, when you're saying don't touch the stove, drugs are bad,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you start in the same level. You start at an elementary level. You don't go and say, oh, you'll be locked up and all this other mm-hmm. stuff. But that's where it starts, because that's when you're forming their character, their personality, and all the things, their moral and their values. So start early. It's never too early to start that drugs are bad, that's the boogeyman, whatever you want
to say. No to drugs.
Say, absolutely. Say no to drugs. Your brain on drugs and stuff like that. So number two is initiate the conversation. Don't always wait for your child to come to you. They may feel uncomfortable, may not know how to start the conversation. So you need to, as the parent, as the guardian, as the caretaker, take responsibility and initiate the conversation. Also, create an open environment. You don't want to corner them. You don't want to have, you know, 20 friends around, aunts and uncles and things like that. An intimate setting, an open setting where they feel free and comfortable, whether it's the dining table, a long car ride, that intimate setting with you and that child. Also, communicate your own values. You know, it's not always about... you know, your aunts, uncles, because we have family members that go astray. But you need to set your own values and your expectations for that child. And when doing so, you need to be a positive role model. You need to practice
what
you
preach. Okay, so here's the big question, Jennifer.
Do as I say, not as I do? Not as I do.
Is it okay to not share all of your history with your children when it comes to this?
That is correct. Okay. Yes. As a parent, I will definitely say... Sometimes too much, could do more damage. Yeah.
Like wait until they're 50.
Right, and be like, oh, I remember them days. But certain, you can definitely downgrade it some. I mean, of course, they don't need to know about, you know, the late nights, but you can say on certain things, you know, I've done this. Like, for instance, I've told my son about cigarettes. He knows cigarettes are bad. I do not smoke. But there was a time in my childhood where I took that puff and choked. I thought my lungs were going to come out my nostrils. So that was an experience that I wanted him to know that, you know, and in result of that, I ended up going to the doctor. I ended up having asthma and things like that. Now, did I tell my mother? No. But now she'll know. But I told my son because I think that's important to let him know that I learned the hard way. You know, but I didn't have to do marijuana to know that it was going to do something. I didn't have to be an alcoholic, you know, and drink all the time to know that it wasn't good for me. And those are the type of lessons.
Well, so. Jennifer, so when you do suspect that your child is taking drugs and or, you know, things have changed and you have a suspicion, you know, I know parents who have questioned their child. And of course, their child says, no, I'm not doing anything. What do you do? What's the next step for a parent?
Well, again, starting early, you have to start that one, communication, but two, investigation. You have to be knowledgeable on what's out there, what's available, what's in your area, what are the problems in your community. You know, education is the key right there. Be a step ahead. You know, like we were talking earlier, you think you know it all, but you really don't. You got to get in there. Talk to other parents. Get online. There's so many blogs about these things. Just being aware, being informed, and search, investigate. I go in my son's room every day, whether he's in there or not. I have a no-knock policy. I have a no-closed-door policy. And that's something that I've instilled in my children and my household from my mother. You close my door only when I tell you to. Uh-huh. My child did that. Me and his father took it off the hinges. And we're that strict about it. Yeah. But when he's 14 and he's 15 and he's 17, it's not an expectation of privacy. He knows mom's coming in there regardless. Right. So I'm not saying he's going to be a pure angel, but I know it won't be in my household because I'm going to go in there. Uh-huh. You know, and I think a lot of parents tend to wait thinking, oh, I have to give my son some privacy. Oh, my daughter some privacy. And what you're doing, you're actually harming. You're putting a barrier between you and your child. And unfortunately, the end result could be that there's something in there that, you know,
so closing his door because I can't stand the mess in there is not a great idea.
Well, unfortunately, you have those times, you know, the family comes over, you might want to shut that a little bit, but
right.
You know,
but burying your own head in the sand is not
right.
A great idea.
Well, not so much even the closing of the door, but I think it early, you need to start early. I mean, even when they're toddlers, when they get their first bed, you need to go in there, you need to say that you need to pick this up. Well, as you're putting the socks away, you're looking in the drawer, so they know that closed drawer, you know, mommy's still gonna go in there whether it's closed or not. And my son, actually, being he'll be 12 this month, he knows at any point he could be in the bathroom. I'm in his room. He's come out the bathroom. I'm standing in his doorway. Why is this like this? Why is this like this? And he knows that this has been as long as he knows.
So I have a question though, because just off of Kim's question, real quickly, you know, if you then do find that yes, indeed they are, you know, from mother to mothers, you know, and doing what you do. What do you do then?
You seek help. You go a step above. you know, if you think you have the suspicion, then again, you talk to other parents and things like that. But once you have the proof is in the pudding, you need to talk to a physician. You definitely need to get some counseling involved. A lot of people want to hold back on that. It's almost like an embarrassing type face, but it's not. It's so common that I wish more would, you know, talk to their girlfriends about it. Like, oh my God, this is what I found. Oh, me too. So get the help. Get them in some type of awareness program in the community. Try with the health departments. See if they have any type of counseling or classes where they can get the real deal.
Do any of your friends reach out to you and say, hey, can you scare the crap out of my son? Seriously.
I'm not going to say any names, but yes. I've had a few that say, well, can you just like put them in the back of your car real quick?
Yeah.
No. Because I don't want to be a negative influence, but... No. Yes, it's one of those things where the scare talk, I think that would be great coming back. I wish the D.A.R.E. program was back. I used to be in the D.A.R.E. program. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, at that point, it was the sergeant at Salisbury Police Department, and he came, and I still remember in sixth grade seeing and signing that piece of paper that said, I'll be drug-free. Mm-hmm. You know, it was proud.
Well, it's the same concept of the prom recently where they have the simulated crash victims. I mean, sometimes you need to see the results of your actions, you know, firsthand to know what you're risking.
Absolutely. And try that at home. Try the pictures, the real-life pictures.
I want to share a story about a first-grade student that I knew probably 10 years ago. It was at a school that I worked at previously. And just to kind of show how early, you know, kids model what they see, the student came to class. They had to do a project where it was a how-to, so they had to give the steps of, you know, how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and you had to do step one, two, three, four. This first grade student came to school, and her project was how to roll a joint.
Holy Christmas.
Goodness. And she literally...
Now, there's a parent who obviously didn't help that school project. Yes. So they do get points for not helping on the project.
But before the teacher could intervene, she had started with step one, step two, and had it all written out and all spelled out and knew exactly what to do. So when we think that a first grader is way too young to understand, they are not.
That's unbelievable. Wasn't that it? Is truly unbelievable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that goes on to, you had said you had more tips, and you were talking just in that.
If your first grader knows how to roll a joint, that might be a tip.
Right. That's called a clue.
You said listening to your children is very important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Tip six is listen to your child. They're going to give you clues. They're going to give you hints. On red flags, they're going to give you signals, you know, so that's very important. Don't always do all the talking. Try to be honest. Again, we had a little bit of talking about that earlier. Not too honest. You ain't got
to,
you know.
You don't have to share everything. You can selectively talk about your own experience.
You can filter your memories down, but be honest to the point of the dangers and what you've learned, your experiences from it. Mm-hmm. Be patient. Because a lot of people want to rush it. They may not say everything the first day. This is something that's going to have to continue. Number nine is use everyday opportunities to talk. The car rides, the walks, at the post office, the grocery store. Those are great opportunities for one-on-one or talking. And the tenth tip, which I think is the most important, keep talking again and again. Once is not enough. Twice is not enough. You know, we do things in repetition. We learn through repetition. So this is no different. Learning how to communicate with your child about drugs, sex, anything,
yeah,
you know,
sexuality,
everything, grades. I mean, you can go to the minor thing from just behavior, you know, but you have to instill it. You have to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So. That's true.
Those are good tips.
Great tips. Definitely. Thank you. And then I've learned so much today about the containers there's containers out there that can hide.
Yeah, I mean,
drugs.
I think this goes to how unaware we are of things. You have kind of opened our eyes to a whole, I don't know, retail what site here of you know, crazy things you can buy to conceal whatever you want.
Drugs. Yes.
All right.
Yes,
so what are we looking for?
There's several. Almost anything. That's the best way I can put it, but I will give you some examples. I won't leave you like that. Simple things as far as like a can of Coke. Unfortunately, they have Coca-Cola cans, and they are marketing ones that screw off tops. So yet they have the weight of a can. They look just like a can, but you can screw right off the top. So, you know, you want to be mindful of those things. Simple things as far as hollowed out books. you know, few pages in the front, but the middle has plenty of room to stash their marijuana or stash their prescription drugs.
Well, I'm good on that one because my son doesn't read books. So
and that probably will be the most, because you won't check there, right?
Yeah.
There you
That's
go.
That's true.
You
there
talked
you
about
go.
A highlighter or a pen yes. and chapstick.
Yes. Unfortunately, with the commercial market and drugs being such... you know, one of those wars that we can't seem to get in front of, you know, but again, this is going to help being aware that they sell products such as highlighters and lipsticks and bombs that you can transform into smoking devices or you can use as a concealer. I mean, there's different screw-ons where you can put a few pills on there, you know, not for a dealer's choice, but enough that, you know, you're getting your high and it's under the radar. So there's different things. You start seeing those items that you didn't purchase. Where did they get them from? Start questioning, you know, mm-hmm. where is this? Why is this? And, you know, it is a few things. The highlighter, you turn the back and there you go, smoking device. You know, I've seen them where there's actually been weapons, but that's another show.
Yeah, that is another show.
Wow. But absolutely, I mean, as simple things as a bottle of water, a bottle of juice, where the top looks like the liquid and once you unscrew it or unpop it, the inside is a container. So, I mean, almost anything that you can think of, you know, can be transformed. So absolutely, it's just being aware, being mindful, and picking up on those subtle clues.
And you know, I was just thinking that it seems to be a lot of trouble to be carrying around a Coke can with a false lid, and where do you get that? And then I thought, well, wait a minute, they can probably get anything off the internet, including some of these prescription drugs.
That's
right?
Correct. That's correct. Unfortunately, in some high populated cities and things like that, there are stores that have them. I mean, I know, you know, locally, I know there's places where you can get it and it looks like a flower vase and it's actually a smoking device. They're covered up in so many ways. And again, it's just being on top of it and just being aware of those things. So the internet is not the only source for these kids. And they know that. They share information. But the internet does tell you how to, when to, and, you know, things mm-hmm. like that. So we have to be mindful. Watch that as well.
Well, we had shows before where we talked about how just something as simple as a game was bought, you know, on the online. And
that would be my son.
But you had mentioned, Jennifer, when we were talking earlier, that you don't even really need a credit card. How do they purchase it?
That's correct. Nowadays, again, we go back to the things of the time. It's an evolution. You can go to Walmart and just pick up, you know, one of those paying here now cards. I mean, they have them everywhere. You don't need a parent's permission. You don't need the 18 or older. And then how many of us give our kids allowance? How many of us, you know, say, oh, here's
that
spare $5.
I wanted to start allowance and, you know, mm-hmm. really. Yeah, I just said that yesterday and my son's 8.
Right.
But yeah.
Well, with my son, what I did, I do the allowance every 2 weeks like I get paid. And it actually goes to a debit card, which I am the sole joint holder of it. So it comes to my email. I can look at his account on mine, his withdrawals, ATM withdrawals, which again, he's almost 12. So I give him his card if he goes out with his friends or whatever. But it's a way that I can still keep that monitoring of why'd you spend $5 on a piece of gum? You know, that type
yeah.
of stuff. But it's just being mindful that cash to cash is, you know, cash to hand is dangerous. They can go walk into any convenience store and pick it up. They mm-hmm. can go into Sam's Club and get a gift card or whatever, or a Visa card. I mean,
I never really thought about that.
No, I didn't
yeah,
either.
You don't need mom's pen anymore. No.
It's so true though about the peer group. I think that your who your kids hang around with have such an influence
yes.
on them.
Yes,
I mean
yes.
from an early age. And you know, I feel blessed that so far my kids' peers have been good kids. So
absolutely.
I think if you're communicating with the other moms and the other parents mm-hmm. and really trying to you know, understand what's happening. That's so important.
Absolutely.
And I agree too. If the parents are in tune with each other, mm-hmm. you know, communicating back and forth mm-hmm. and sharing information, you know,
right.
or just pick up the phone and call.
Of course, sometimes you don't always know what's going on in the other person's house too.
Right.
Though,
yeah. Right.
There's that.
Yeah. Which they can always see your child when they're not in front of you. So, you know, it's one
that's
of those things too. Children are.
Did you pick up on something that
uh-huh.
was at your house?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea.
Absolutely.
Jennifer, thank you so much
no
for
problem.
Joining us. We've learned a lot. Our listeners have definitely learned a lot, and I'm sure we'll probably get some emails and responses from them. So
thanks for being in our school system too.
Yeah.
We really appreciate that.
Thank you. I'm honored. And I jumped on it as soon as I heard it. Thank you so much for having
me. Yeah. You're listening to Because I Said So on Delmarva Public Radio. You've been listening to Because I Said So, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. For more information, including podcasts of this episode,
Visit us online at becauseisaidsoradio.com. Thanks to Anita Renfro for allowing us to use her song Momisms as our theme song. And be sure to like us on Facebook. Look for the lady with the red hot lips.
I said so, I said so, I said so, I said so. I'm the mom, the mom, the mom, the mom.